Yes, well, spending time together as a family, you'll often hear people say they wish they had more time, if only daily life wasn't so demanding. And our conversation just now about losing a parent is a reminder of just how important it can be to make that time while we're all still alive and on the planet. Kate Ellman decided that she needed to leave daily life behind for the ultimate test of togetherness. 6 months in a small caravan with her husband and three daughters. Not just any old caravan either. There was a whole aesthetic to this trip, as you'll hear. If you're into the vintage scene, you will love it. They travelled from regional Victoria through central Australia, along the west coast, across the Nullarbor. This is in a caravan, folks. Then Adelaide and then back home to their farm in Daylesford. She's written a guide for other families who are itching to consider the same. Be brave. And it's called Vantastic, Retro Caravan Holidays in the Modern World. And she joins me now. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you so much. Lovely to be here.
Now, look, you run a little certified organic mixed farm in one of the most beautiful parts of Victoria. Why did you want to get away from that? That sounds like what we all end up wanting to do.
Good question. I think that we'd been there for 10 years, and just leading up to the 10-year mark, we'd had all sorts of natural catastrophes thrown at us. We'd had a bushfire, we'd had floods, we'd had locusts and unseasonal frosts,
oh,
and we felt really burnt out. You know, we started to lose that inspiration and that joy at waking up and farming every day. We just felt like we needed to have some space from it.
Yeah.
And to see other parts of Australia.
Yeah, those locust plagues right through that region. Yeah. I remember driving through them. It was just staggering.
Yeah.
You would have chomped up all those beautiful veggies you were selling.
Yeah, absolutely. It was pretty terrifying at the time.
Absolutely. I mean, this is like the ultimate childhood fantasy. It's basically a cubby house on wheels.
Yeah.
Is this something that you did as a kid? Were you a caravanning family?
No, neither Bren nor myself were caravanning families, so this was something completely out of nowhere. We're not even sure where our original idea came from, but it was exactly, I think it had that cubby house feeling to it, that take your shell on your back like a turtle.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just any old caravan that you, well, it was any old caravan that you picked, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a vintage caravan, and I didn't really fully appreciate how big the vintage caravan scene seems to be. Did you?
Not at the time. We started looking at brand new caravans, but very quickly realised that due to budget constraints, we couldn't afford one. But we didn't really love the look of them anyway. Those brand new caravans seemed a bit soulless. And, you know, we have a particular ideology that is, if you can give something old a new life, why would you bother buying something new just to chuck it away in a few years' time? So it ended up fitting in with who we are as people. And the fact that then, because it was old, we could spend time and completely redo it, whereas I don't know if you'd want to rip all the bits out of a brand new caravan.
Yeah, that's right, which is what you did. It was an old Frankie Blue, I think.
Yes.
So describe this. I mean, I can't see why you wouldn't want the 1970s interior and the green and yellow stripe down the side.
Exactly.
Come on.
It hurts my eyes to even think back to that first day we walked inside it. It was sort of this bright green and gold, sort of feels sort of very vinyl-y. I don't know, it was awful with that fake wood panelling everywhere you looked.
And lovely.
These brown, very plasticky handles on everything that were sort of cracking and breaking. And I could go on.
What did you do to create a space that fitted two adults, three growing daughters? What did you create?
Well, one of the reasons we bought this particular van is because of the space, because down one end there were three bunks, one on top of the other, so that suited us really well because they were very well fitted. And down the other end of the caravan was our bed, but when it wasn't in use, it would just fold back up into the wall, because we were very aware that we'd be spending a lot of time in our caravan as the five of us, and so the more space the better. So without our bed during the day and with their beds tucked down the other end, we had quite a lot of living space. So that was fantastic. And often, you know, other people with brand new caravans would walk into ours and couldn't believe the space we had.
A little bit of caravan envy. So tell us about the itinerary, because a lot of planning went into this. And this is a big part of this book, is helping other people plan the details, with lots of extra treats as well, because you are obsessed with crafting, as we will hear. But what was the itinerary and where did you head?
So I think with us, we decided to head, we live in one of the coldest parts of Australia, so we wanted to get somewhere warm as soon as possible because we were leaving in the middle of winter, and also because when you live in a caravan, you want to be out of that caravan as much as possible. So if we were somewhere cold and wet and rainy, then we'd have to be on top of each other. So we decided the quickest way to get anywhere north was to go right up the centre of Australia, and then it was, the decision was east coast or west coast. And my husband and I had spent time before we had kids travelling up and down the east coast, and we had this fantasy that the west coast was much more untravelled and unexplored, and it would be a real adventure for us, and we'd be able to get lost and find things that we, you know, amazing beaches and incredible scenery and very, very different and not built up to what we'd ever seen before, and we did.
Yeah, tell us about some of the highlights of travelling across that gorgeous landscape. Give us your favourites.
Oh, God, I have so many favourites. I think the place that always stands out for me is the Ningaloo Reef on the west coast. It's just one of the beaches called Turquoise Bay, and the water is turquoise. It's just unimaginable. It's gorgeous. So you can sit there on the beach and watch your kids on the whitest, most beautiful sand, or you can walk in the water like 10 metres and be in the most incredible reef to snorkel. And it's just gorgeous. Just, and for some reason I'd never really heard of it, so it was all a surprise, that area. And there are turtles and incredible fish and coral reefs and beautiful warm water. I want to go back there now.
I'm telling you, I want to go back too. Kate Ellman is with me this morning. She's the author of Fantastic Retro Caravan Holidays in the Modern World, which is really partly the story of her own vintage caravan holiday, 6 months with her husband and three daughters around Australia. Any other landscapes that really stick in your mind? Because I don't think many people would be game to travel through desert country with a caravan and three children.
I mean, because it was an older caravan, we weren't really prepared to go off the road at all, so we stuck to the Highway 1 the whole time. And we were really surprised by how incredibly well made the roads are right up through the middle of Australia, and also things like the Nullarbor Plain. I'd always expected that was going to be a really rough and difficult drive, but that was really easy as well, and a beautiful road and incredible scenery and birds and trees, and I don't know where I could go on and on. We'd never been to Uluru before, so that was an incredible thing. We took bikes with us and with the girls and rode around the big rock, so that was a beautiful thing for us all to do together.
You had bikes and on the caravan as well. What was the toughest? Was it, there's a lot of beauty here. What was the toughest part of doing this? Because every trip is a test to an extent. What were the tests?
Well, I guess space, the obvious, you know, five different people doing five different things at the same time, and well, that was quite difficult. I think difficult for me was often I'd have to escort three children at three different times to the toilet in the middle of the night. That was a big challenge for me. We broke down once in Albany for 2 weeks on our way home. The caravan, I don't even still to this day know what was wrong, but that was a real test for me, is just staying in this ugly, sort of smaller than our caravan, little tiny apartment for 2 weeks when we'd been having this, you know, big wide world adventure, and there we were stuck in the middle of nowhere without a car or a caravan for 2 whole weeks. So that was quite challenging.
Yes, mechanics is always there to ground you. What about your relationship with your husband? Did it, I guess, imbue it with a different kind of colour?
We work together every day, so we spend on our farm at home in our normal life. So I'm not sure that much changed. I think it was just, you know, different challenges and different, you know, he's obsessed with details. So his thing was, you know, turning up to a caravan park and making sure we had the perfect spot facing the perfect direction. And, you know, I'd be happy just to back in and that was it, you know, or go off and do our own thing. But his thing is really making sure everything is tied down and, you know, we're close enough to the toilet but far enough from the swimming pool.
You can't tell me that you're not obsessed with detail, because there's a whole aesthetic to this book of patchworking and knitting and bunting and pom-poms, and essentially you gave your three daughters a kind of craft-led curriculum for 6 months.
Didn't sound like there
was much school going on there.
They'll tell you that's the story of their lives. Yeah. I'd much rather be tie-dyeing than talking about maths or something. I am obsessed with craft. I make everything. I just love it. I've always got busy hands. But I think a lot of the craft I do doesn't have to be perfect. I'm not crazy about certain angles and measuring and things like that. Like, I'll make their clothes and try them on them, and if they don't fit, I'll take them off and cut bits off or stick extra bits on. I'm not great at being exact.
Well, it's a beautiful telling of this story. But what did you do for school? Because a lot of parents will be listening going, I couldn't possibly take the girls out of school for 6 months. People don't feel like that's possible, even though we have long, long lives to fill up with lots of education.
Yeah, so I think our ideology is balance. So we're not really prepared to put our girls in school for the next 12 years and say, see you later. We're really about, you know, school has to be balanced with a lot of other experience and education and vision. And so we had a lot of discussion and researched it and spoke to the school beforehand, and we really just felt that this would be an incredible experience. We only had two in school at that stage, and I think they were in grade 3 and 5. So they seemed like not too, you know, I mean, you know, every age is important, but they seemed like grades of school that they could miss out.
Did you try and weave in a kind of formalised learning into the adventure?
No. We did a lot of...
Love your work. Movie nights.
Yeah, we did secret, you know, stuff that they didn't know they were learning. They wrote a blog and took lots of photos, and everywhere we went, you know, we'd read the history of it and, you know, what was going on there, and visit information centres and museums and galleries, and where we could, we, you know, spoke to guides or local people, and they wrote journals. And, I mean, so often on the road we'd hear mothers screeching at their kids, you know, come on, you've got to do your homeschooling before you're allowed to do any blah, blah, swimming or whatever. And I would hate that, and they would hate that. So this worked really well for us, and we were incredibly lucky that they just all, both of them, did just slot back into school afterwards with their friends and academically. I don't know. I mean, now we have one in high school, and so I think that would be a different story. I think we'd have to sort out some sort of distance education.
Oh, yeah, but then there's a small case. If you've had three teenage girls in one caravan with two parents, the hormones that are flying would make it like a living hell.
I don't think I could convince my husband to do that. That trip will,
What do you think this whole adventure has done to you? Because it sounds like you're really open for constant change and reinvention anyway.
Yeah, so I think it's shown me that we're not tied down to anything. Like, who would have thought that we could leave our own business and two employees and thousands of chickens and fruit trees and vegetables for 6 months and just go off and have an adventure of our own and come back and pick up where we left off? And it showed me that you can. And, you know, you hear some stories of what happens in life, and you just have to, I have to think, who knows what's around the corner? We really have to live every single day and keep changing things up. So, I mean, people have all sorts of excuses, and we had them too beforehand. What are we going to do financially? What are we going to do about, you know, all sorts of things? But if you really want to do things, you can find those answers.
Kate Ullman, thank you very much for joining us and sharing with us the story of this wonderful trip.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful.
How's that? Kate Ullman, organic farmer and author of Vantastic Retro Caravan Holidays in the Modern World, published by Explore Australia Publishing. And she runs a beautiful blog too, and we'll link to that from the Life Matters webpage, foxeslane.blogspot. Oh, we'll link to it on the website, .com.au, but we'll link to it on the Life Matters website. It's really beautiful. What a life.